We'll go down to Chase Field. Barry Bloom joins us of MLB.com, the senior writer and a good friend and a great baseball man. Barry, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Marty?
Very good. Very good. Glad to have you back in Arizona. You put in 6 weeks or so in New York.
Yeah, and I'll be up in actually your way for the Cubs-Giants next weekend, and then I head back east. So nice little respite out here.
Washington, D.C. How about all the stuff that happened there this week? Harper suspended for a game. He takes a suspension. Strasburg, $175 million. And then Scherzer strikes out 20. Boy, Dusty Baker, he sort of walked into the right place at the right time.
Well, they're a team with a lot of big personalities, and things are always going on there. With guys like Jason Worth and Zimmerman and Gio Gonzalez. I mean, really, Papelbon, you just go down the list. So, it was an organization that was ready to really excel. And I think Dusty perfectly is a steadying hand for them, particularly with his .520 winning percentage and his ability to take teams and generate playoff eligibility.
Well, he's certainly doing it, and he's dealing with Harper. I mean, Harper's got to be a handful. Look, he's dealt with Bonds over the years, but Harper certainly is a handful. Not restrained in any way, and Dusty's pretty interesting with him. He said, sometimes I got to sit him down and spank him a little.
Well, I mean, to that point, last year I felt sorry for Matty Williams because, you know, my feeling there was that they really needed two managers, one for Harper and one for the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, Dusty is capable. He's dealt with Bonds and Kent at the Pinnacle and, a lot of, Wood and Pryor and a lot of the big egos in Chicago. The Cincinnati guys, you know, Jay Bruce still loves them. They adore him there. He's a player's guy. But Harper's a different situation, and I don't know how they deal with his anger management issues. It's been ongoing since he was a kid. You look at it, he's 23 years old. I mean, he's been around so long already, you feel like he's been around forever, but he's like one of these young Japanese players like Ohtani, who came into the league at like 17 or 18 over there, and he's 22, and he's been in the league 5 years already. They're there forever, and I think they get pampered. There was a treatment factor and protection from his father when he was a kid, and he hasn't grown up. Someday he's got to grow up, or else it's going to hamper him all along the way.
Boy, interesting. Good insight from Barry Bloom, MLB.com senior writer. Now, we talked a lot yesterday about potential impact of the National League West or trades that could be coming up. And everybody came back to the Yankees and talked about Betances and Miller and Chapman. Chapman's going to be a free agent. Boy, can you imagine Chapman on the Dodgers? Can you imagine Chapman on Washington and all these different scenarios? Put him on the Cubs. What's going to happen with Chapman? He's back. He's pitching. He's throwing 100 every pitch. The Yankees possibly going to move him. They generally don't ever give up. So what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because a few weeks ago when the Yankees were floundering, I wrote a column and said at the time the two things that they could do that would have immediate impact would be trade Chapman and bring Nick Swisher up from the minor leagues. They had just signed him. He was hitting .380. He's kind of leveled out a little bit, but he hit a few home runs, knocked in some runs. And I thought that Swisher, with his personality coming back, give him an extra bat in a short-term move. But for me, they have an embarrassment of riches there with Betances, Miller, and Chapman. And you're not going to trade Betances or Miller. They're both under control. I mean, really, it's like $9.5 million for the two of those guys. They've got Betances for $575,000 right now. And he may be the best young reliever in the league. So you're not going to trade him. And they have Miller under control for two more years at marginal money. They're not going to trade him. So Chapman is a free agent at the end of the year, and he's going to command some money. So you would think at some point they trade him. And my primary thing was, you know, you mentioned Washington. Washington doesn't need him. Dodgers have Kenley Jansen. I don't know why they went after him to begin with. The Giants need him. and essentially who in the Yankees need a bat, what's the match that the Giants can afford to give up to put Chapman at the back end of their bullpen, especially at the time when Romo and Contos went down. And you can see what Bochy's doing with the bullpen. It's a mix and match all the time, where he even took Casilla out of the game, his closer the other night, to put Lopez in against a left-handed hitter. I mean, this is where Bochy's at his best, but I think he'd like to have Chapman. He'd love to have Trevor Wilson. He'd love to have Hoffman in San Diego. What kind of fit would Chapman be with the Giants at this point? I mean, I think they're going to win the division anyway, but to me that puts them over the top.
Well, I'd be interested. What do the Yankees need?
Oh, the Yankees need hitting. I mean, obviously the Giants wouldn't probably do it, but, I mean, you know, 100 pimps for Chapman would be a great deal.
Right, but that's not going to happen. So, you know, you got to go down the list and see if there's someone, you know, because Chapman's a free agent, and they do have some hitters coming up. One that name comes up all the time is Christian Arroyo, who really doesn't have a position. But, you know, is Chapman going to sign? Do you give up an Arroyo for Chapman? Is that going to put you over the top? I don't know.
Pagan, you know, it's a good one for me, too, because here's a guy who he's also going to be a free agent. He's also constantly hurt. He's a perfect Yankee because the Yankees are constantly hurt. But when he plays, he's a catalyst. Mm-hmm. You can put him up at the top of the lineup, you know, because Ellsbury's hurt all the time, and, you know, and let him go. You actually can play him anywhere in the lineup, as Bochy showed the other day, batting him ninth. So in the American League, you could bat him ninth all the time as a secondary leadoff hitter. I mean, I think he would be a good one. No, I don't agree with you, Marty. I think Chapman absolutely puts him over the top. It's that close in this division, and having a lights out guy like that at the back end. I mean, you should have seen it at Yankee Stadium when he came out for his first game in a non-safe situation, and he's throwing 100 miles an hour, and people are watching the scoreboard. The Royals are watching the scoreboard. I wrote a column about the five guys who faced him that night, and I talked to each guy the next day. What was your approach? And, you know, what are you doing when you come to the bat against a guy like this? I mean, the only other reliever in baseball that's close to me is Kimbrel, and I think he's given the Red Sox an element that they really never had, because they've never had a steady closer over the course of time. But I think Chapman is that much better. I really do think he would separate the Giants out.
All right. Well, it's not going to be any big name off the starters, because plus they need Pagan in that nine spot. But whatever, that's a discussion in about another month or so, see where they're at. But Barry Bloom with us, great discussion, MLB.com senior writer. Now, last night, was it the reincarnation of Randy Jones, Stu Miller, Scott McGregor, Frank Tanana? What was up with Jake Peavy last night? And he got it done, but it was quite different than anything we've ever seen from him.
Well, you know, not really. I mean, I've seen him pitch at times before. And, you know, you know when he goes into these streaks, and he does it every year. He did it when he came back last year from the injury. He had a pretty good second half of the season when the Giants got him in 14, and they won the World Series. They wouldn't have even clinched a wild card without the way Peavy pitched in September. And, you know, and he started the season something like 1-10 that year against at Boston before he was traded. So, I mean, Peavy is constantly in a mode of reinventing himself. And we had a discussion after the scrum last night about this. Now, I've been listening to Peavy talk about this forever, you know, that he can't go max efforts on his pitches. He needs to move the ball around in the strike zone. There's a lot of distance, 88 in 89, which he reached twice yesterday, and 75 on his breaking pitches, is a lot of distance. And if you put the ball around the strike zone and pitch, a la like a Maddux, you could get a lot of hitters out, because if the movement coming out of your hand and your motion is the same on every pitch, batters just don't know what's coming. So I think for the long term, if Peavy is going to continue to have the success he had last night, you know, and continue to have it for the rest of his career, this is the adjustment he completely has to make. He can't go out there on max effort on every pitch anymore. He's just not that type of pitcher. And, you know, he needs an attitude adjustment, which I think he understands and Bochy understands. And will it transfer to the next game? That's only, you know, up to PV psyche, because he knows what he has to do and he's smart about it. We've talked about this in spring training over and over again over the years. And he knows he has to make this adjustment full time. And when he does, he's going to be a very effective pitcher because he knows how to pitch, unlike Lincecum, where Lincecum just didn't know how to pitch. And well, Lincecum could have done the same thing with an 89-mile-an-hour fastball and his curveball. If he had his motion blocked in identically every time he threw, he could have been very nasty. And at the times when he did do that, was very nasty. But there was only a glimmer there, and then he would completely fall out of sync. You know, I think Jake is healthy enough that he can stay in sync.
Well, we'll see. He was sort of forced into it last night because he was sick on Friday night. So
I don't buy that. I really don't. And he said the same thing. I think that he was forced into it because he let up 16 runs and 17 hits in his last three outings. You know, it's not – I've been saying this about the Yankees for all season. The definition of insanity is coming back and doing the same things over and over again. That's what the Yankees have done. They keep coming back with the same guys over and over again. They get the same results. I think Jake knows he can't do what he was doing because he's going to have those results.
All right. We'll see what happens. I think it's Arrieta and Jake next Friday night. You'll be up
here.
That'll be fun. So it'll be fun to have you on the show. I just want to tell you that you're getting a lot of thumbs down for even thinking about Pence for Chapman. Just to tell you that, pretty boy Floyd, who is this guy? David, what are you smoking? And Teresa says, San Francisco fans don't want someone who beats women on their team ever. No Chapman. So you brought up
That's a good point.
Yeah, okay. The other one, I think it was a slip of the – let me put it to you because I've known you a long time. Let me put the Pence suggestion as a slip of the tongue, not serious. Let me get you off the hook with that. All right, let me be your lawyer on that one.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
All right, very, very good. One last thought for Barry Bloom, senior writer. I got to defend the guy because he actually said something that was like off the wall here. Chicago baseball. How about the Cubs and White Sox? What's going on there? The Cubs are just, other than the 35-5, which is just emblazoned in my mind of the Tigers of 84, this is the best start since then, and the White Sox just keep winning.
I love this, and I've seen the Rangers win the Stanley Cup in 94. Not only did the Red Sox win, break the jinx and win one championship, but win three. You know, I covered the White Sox winning in 2005. The Giants winning for the first time. Not only winning for the first time since 1954, but multiplying it three times. And I'd love to see the Cubs, you know, win and get Billy Goat and all this stuff off their back and move forward with this in the coast of Wrigley. What better team to go back and play but the White Sox? And, talk about ancient history. I mean, the two teams did play each other in 1906, and that's the next to the last time the Cubs won the World Series. So wouldn't be anything more fantastic than seeing the White Sox and the Cubs in the World Series.
Well, I think the Cubs probably could hang in the White Sox. I'm not convinced yet. Although Chris Sale, right now, you get Kershaw, Arrieta, Chris Sale, and a couple others, and those are the best pitchers in the game right now. And you get a guy like that, and you can ride him, and that's what the White Sox 8-0. They're 24-13, and this guy's 8-0.
Right. Plus the addition of Todd Frazier, he's hit like 11 homers already. He's given young leadership, and you can see that right away in spring training. Well, I talked to him over in Camelback in March, and we had a long discussion about this. Having Jimmy Rollins in there playing part-time shortstop. You know, Abreu is a great player. I mean, they've got parts. I mean, everybody expected them to be a lot better last year than they were. And the Seattle, same thing. Everybody expected them to be a lot better last year than they were this year with some changes. They're doing very well. Yeah, I think the White Sox have staying power. And part of the reason why I say this, too, is that I really think we're watching the dissolution of the Royals at this point.
Yeah.
That what they did over the last 2 years is over. They don't even have a three-man bullpen anymore. And, and a lot of their guys are really struggling. They're struggling doing what they do and playing at the intensity level that they play at. And, the division's wide open for taking. So it's Chicago, probably Detroit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree with the Kansas City. When I saw Fulton Nevitz shut him out, I said, boy, this is not your Kansas City Royals of the last 2 years. All right, JBS says Barry also told us the DH was coming to the National League. So people do listen to you. They do remember you. So I just want to...
I stand by that.
All right, all right.
The DH is coming to the National League.
All right, we're going to talk about that at another show. But great to have you on today. Are you at the ballpark today?
Yes, I am.
All right, good. If you tweet in, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to chat with us after the game, if you have a couple of minutes, it'd be fun to have you call in.
Sure, that'd be great.
All right, thanks, Barry. Thank you.
Text me the call-in number. Text me the call-in number.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much. All right, have a good day.
All right. See you, Marty. Bye-bye. Right.
Barry Bloom, senior writer, MLB.com. People remember what he says when he said Pence for Chapman. I think hopefully he was having breakfast, smoking something, or doing something. What can I tell you?